Homily 62, the Apostle Peter. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. When I made my first 30-day Jesuit retreat in 1960, I was a novice. The contemplations involving St. Peter were often the most powerful. Thus, I've long had much devotion to this remarkable man. Second only to Jesus, Peter is the most mentioned person in the New Testament. And like Jesus, Peter was a Jew. So when we Christians reverence Peter, we are also reverencing our own Jewish roots. As Jesus himself says in John's Gospel, salvation comes by way of the Jews. When the New Testament writes about Jesus, there's almost always a linkage between something strong and positive and something negative and weak about him. This morning's Gospel indicates that because of God the Father, Peter was the first to recognize that Jesus was much more than a prophet. He was, in fact, the Son of the living God. However, Peter the Rock, Kephas in Aramaic, you find that in 1 Corinthians 15. Peter the Rock, play on words because the Greek word for rock and Peter are the same. He becomes such a stumbling block to Jesus' mission that Jesus calls him a Satan, a term that Jesus did not even call his enemies. And blustery Peter called out to Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you across the water. And he takes a few steps, he starts, and he sinks. Likewise, just before Jesus' agony in the garden, Peter loudly proclaims that he would lay down his very life for Christ. But all too quickly, Peter denies him three times. I know not the man. I love the story of the risen Christ's appearance on the lakeshore. The beloved disciple, always quick to recognize Jesus, says, it is the Lord. However, without hesitation, splash, Peter is in the water, so eager to see Jesus. When asked at breakfast by Jesus three times if Peter loves him, Peter painfully blurts out, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Now, months later, in Antioch, Peter eats and drinks with Gentiles. People show up from James in Jerusalem to chide Peter for eating with Gentiles. Now, these Gentiles were Christians. And he chooses the cowardly way out. The apostle Paul rebukes him to his face. Later, Peter had his famous food vision in which God reprimands him. Peter says, I'm not going to eat that. God says, what God has cleansed, do not call unclean. If we are committed to Jesus, but sometimes too scared to live out that commitment, Peter is a saint with whom we can identify. And if Jesus did not give up on Peter, then we can hope that Jesus will never give up on us. I think of Peter for the dimension of weakness and disorientation that haunts almost everyone's life. Let us take the ancient tradition that he moved from Jerusalem to Antioch, and then from Antioch to Rome. This is Peter the Galilean fisherman, whose accent made him sound like a hick in Jerusalem. He probably knew some Greek, because some Jews in that area, the Galilee area, did. In fact, that's true to this day. But try to imagine Peter in conversation with the better educated Jewish and Gentile Christians of Antioch or Rome. I think he must often have had difficulty understanding what the people around him were saying, and that once he understood the words, he must often have wondered what they meant by those words. And the same would apply to anyone he addressed. At the end, caught up in the persecution under Nero, he confessed that he was not worthy to die as Jesus did. So he was crucified upside down. You find that in one of the apocryphal gospels. As my community and I got older, illness, hearing loss, and so on, often they do not know what is going on. So I think of Peter. I pray Thomas Merton's prayer. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire to please you in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are always with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone.